Morning, one and all. I thank God for this opportunity to speak to you. And today we are going to continue our study on the book of Acts, as you know, in chapter 19. And last week, Reverend Ho spoke to us how the Word of God grew and mightily and prevailed. And that is in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. And we see here that sinners were converted, the sick were healed, and that those demon possessed were delivered, and occult books were burnt as men turned to God. Now, in our passage today, taken from Acts chapter 19, verses 21 to 41, it begins with Paul's purpose in the Spirit. Now, what does this mean, purpose in the Spirit? In God's work, or rather in doing God's work, Paul was very much dependent on the Holy Spirit to guide him, to direct him, and he did not based on his own plan or emotion. Having ministered in Ephesus for more than 2 years, he planned to return to Jerusalem with the collections of the offerings from the brethren and to distribute to the needy, and thereafter to minister to the brethren in Rome. While he was in Ephesus, he sent Timotheus and Erastus, his co-laborers, to Macedonia. And he stayed on. And here, Paul set us an example that in God's work, we must learn to wait upon him for his direction and guidance. While living for the truth, we can be sure that there will be problems, resistance, and threats. But let us encourage ourselves in God's word, for God promised in the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I believe that this was the case for Martin Luther in the 16th century. God was with him. Today marks the 506 years of the Protestant Reformation. And in the year 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door at Winterberg, where he contended for the faith. It was a defining moment in Christian history that sparks the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther wrote the 95 Theses as he was against the wrong practices of the Roman Catholic Church of his time, which included the selling of indulgences, the abuse of priestly power, and the power of the Pope. He believed that man is justified by faith and not by works, and only God can save us. Now, although Martin Luther was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church and his writings were burnt, but the work of the Lord continued to flourish, especially that of the Reformed faith. Now, why Reformation matters? Reformation matters because it is all about the truth. It was a dark age when the truth was hidden from the people. But we thank God that in his own good time, he raised up faithful men and godly men like Martin Luther to point men to Christ, who is the light of the world. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The two key tenets of the Reformation are: one, the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and practice. It is written in Timothy, "For all scriptures is given by the inspirations of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works." And two, salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. Paul put it the other way: "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us." Yes, Christ bridged us to God. Now, the five solas of the Reformation summarizes the Reformers' theological conviction in the essentials of the Christian faith. also commonly known as the Reformed faith. They are Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. Now, these five solas are not just for us to remember as good statements in Christian faith. The thing is, do we appropriate them to our Christian life? Do we believe that the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and our practice? And do we believe that faith alone in Christ will save us? And our life must be grounded on the faith that day to day we must live the Christian life by faith. For what is it that if we have to see and to believe in order to trust God? As God told Thomas, you see, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And grace alone. Our salvation is by the grace of God. It is not our works, lest any man should boast. So when we are tempted or when we are doubted about salvation, let us remember it is by God's grace alone. Alright? And in Christ alone. There's no salvation in any other. It is only in Christ alone. And lastly, it's to the glory of God alone. All that we do, whether in church or in our personal life, it is to the glory of God alone. So we must appropriate these five solas in our life as we walk the Christian way. Now, Paul cautioned in Galatians chapter 1, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, in this verse, Paul was referring to the Judaizers who falsely thought that salvation is by grace, but they don't stop there alone. He says, and or plus observing and keeping of the Mosaic laws. In other words, salvation to these Judaizers is that it is not by grace alone, it plus man's work of keeping the law. Now, Paul went on to state plainly in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Therefore, let no man deceive us, anything more or anything less than what the Scripture has said is not of God and does not honor God. So this brings us to our topic today, the threat of the gospel. The threat of the gospel. Why is the gospel a threat? We ask ourselves this question. Well, the gospel is a sword that cuts and divides. Now, Christ is not a politician, nor is he a dictator, that he needs to win votes and to unite the people as one. Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set the man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is a threat that severs ties, that separates the broad and the narrow way, the truth and falsehood, carnal and spiritual gains, the sheep and the goats. Now, we know that in the Bible, the sheep refers to those who believe in Jesus and belongs to him, whereas the goats are those who do not believe and therefore do not believe in, belongs to God. Now, you are either for God or you are against God. There is no middle ground. Now, from the scripture text that was read by Elder Ong earlier for us, in Acts chapter 19, verses 21 to 41, I would like to share the three key points that reinforce the message of the Reformation, which is, one, there is no other way. Two, there is no other gain. Three, there is no other gods. Now, what is it that the Bible, the gospel, is a threat? There's no other way. Why is it a threat? Well, it offers no other choice. And it is the truth and truth hurts. There's no other gains. Why is it a threat? Because it intrudes into the personal spaces of the individual. And it opposes their selfish and ambitions, and it reveals their sinful desires. There's no other gods. Why is it a threat? The Ephesians were worshipping their goddess, the great Diana. It challenges the majority. It attacks their idols and hurts their pride. Now, from the verse 23 that we have read, and at the same time, there arose no small stir about the way. It is therefore no surprise that the way had caused a stir or an upheaval in the local community. The message of the way, the Lord Jesus, the way, to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike, is that it is all of Christ and none of men. It is all of Christ and none of men. To the Jews, who were very familiar with the way, it was a stumbling block and a rock of offense. They were offended because they were anticipating a conquering hero who would deliver them as God's promised people, our chosen nation, from the Roman oppression. Instead, Jesus came meek, lowly, and impoverished. To the Greek or unbelieving Gentiles, the way was foolishness. They cannot accept it because Jesus did not fit into their human wisdom, intellectual reasoning, or philosophical thinking. To them, death on a cross and all its humiliations spoke of weakness and failures rather than victory and strength. Now, dear friends, it is foolish for men to try to fit God into their thinking or their view. God is immortal. Man is mortal. He is the creator. We are the creatures. He is far wiser and stronger than we think. The Bible says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. Now, Paul preached Christ the only way to be saved and the only way to have eternal life. To the natural man, to these unbelieving Gentiles, they cannot accept no other way or no choice as the options. Sometimes in office, we also say, do the same thing. I cannot accept no choice. You need to give me an alternative. So throughout history, man rejects the way and devises his own way to satisfy his own selfish desires. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They will choose all other way, but not the way of the cross. So men of today are no different. They crave for power, they crave for wealth and health and anything else except the true and living God. This they do for their own happiness and for their own prosperity. But none of this really satisfies their souls. It is, after all, emptiness. It is disappointment. It is disillusions. And it is ultimately death. But we are told that we bring nothing into this world, and it's certain that we'll bring nothing out of this world. There is a way that seemeth righteous or right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Christianity is not another religion. Jesus told the disciples in no uncertain terms that he is the way, and that the early disciples were known as followers of the way. Jesus is also the truth and the life. Now, the Bible tells us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that proves that the Christianity is the same as the other religions. Now, all roads may lead to Rome. All roads may lead to Rome. Only Jesus leads to God, leads to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. So when you feel lost, if you are seeking, remember that Jesus is the way. When you question about your faith, remember that He is the truth. And when you are downhearted, remember that Jesus will give you life. So Jesus came down from heaven to tell us this truth, that we may believe. This is the only way to a restored relationship with God. And this is the only way that we can have rest and peace with God. Just as Adam and Eve, before they sinned against God, it was peaceful, it was in perfect harmony with God. And that is what God wants to give to us. Now, truth is the enemy of falsehood, and it hurts. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Truth is the foundations of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Truth is glad. Love is glad when truth is spoken. And we cannot but speak the truth. Now, truth holds us accountable for our sins and our wrongdoings, and it pricks our guilt and our conscience. Now, when a man sins, he has no rest. Just as when we do something wrong in our life, be it children trying to hide something from their parents or from a spouse against the other, you knew that you do not have peace until you confess them. Truth is real and offensive. But men rejected it because they love darkness and because their deeds are evil. So what is the truth, you ask? Well, the truth is that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We must use God's standards to measure our moral character and values, and not you think that you are good. And because we have fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us that the wages or the penalty of sin is death, which is eternal separations from God in hell. But while we were in that state, God commanded His love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And believing in Him, we shall be saved. Well, you can ignore this truth, but that doesn't exempt you from God's judgment. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, dearly beloved, the truth will set us free. And Solomon advised us to buy the truth and sell it not. Truth demands us to make a deliberate decision. We must acknowledge what the Bible has told us, and we must act now. Acknowledge and act now. Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long talk ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, which is the hidden gods, then follow Him." And the people answered him not a word. What is your reply? You have heard the truth. What will be your decision? If God is knocking at your door this morning, come forward to the way of God. Let not sins and fears hinder you, but come to Jesus as you are. Believe in Him, and you shall be safe. You ask yourself, what are you living for? What are you living for in this life? You need a purpose. But you can only find this purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing of this world will satisfy you. You can be true to yourself that only Jesus will satisfy your soul. To you, my brethren who are safe, keep not back from union with the Lord and with his people. Jesus kept not back. He came down from heaven to save us. And let us serve him. Let us be spent for him. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, Joshua told the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So may that be your decision to follow, to believe in Christ, and to serve him all the days of your life. Our next point is no other gains. Now the priority of the gospel intrudes into the personal spaces and comfort zone of these idol makers. It was a threat to their livelihood and their wealth. Their financial gains were greatly threatened when many turned to the truth of the gospel. The new believers stopped worshipping Diana, and naturally the profit from the selling the shrimps dropped drastically, and therefore their profits also affected. To these idol makers, carnal earthly gains were more important than the truth and spiritual gains. Now, Demetrius and the silver craftsmen were selfish and only cared for their own gains and wealth. They served their own belly and evil desires, and by good words and fair speeches deceived the hearts of the simple, those who flocked to the temples of Diana to worship there. The Bible called them the enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Because God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, who mind earthly things, and God shall destroy them, both it and them. Now, Jesus told the disciples, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Therefore, let us not allow the threat of earthly loss deter us from seeking spiritual gain and eternal life. Following Christ may sometime require us to forego some extra earnings, but let us trust God, because God had promised that they that trust him shall not want. And this is what living in faith means, that we need to trust God to provide us. And Paul is an example, for he counted all things but loss and done, that he might win Christ and be found acceptable in him, which is far more important to our spiritual soul. Now, there's no need for Paul to challenge or to criticize the worship of Diana. He simply preached God's word and proclaimed the truth. And that is one good principle that all of us should do, not to attack another religion. And God commands all men to work and to earn an honest and wise living. For in Ecclesiastes, it says that it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labors that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. However, if any would not work when they can, neither should he eat. Now, while we take care of the physical needs, let us not forget our spiritual needs. Let us not neglect the need of our soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but to lose his own soul, there's nothing that a man can give in exchange for his soul. Only Christ can satisfy our soul's need. Too often, men regretted and lamented, what if? Yes, if I have known the truth, I would have seeked the Lord early and served him. And the list can go on. But today, we do not need to lament or to regret. If we heed the counsel of the Lord, which is to buy of me, say the Lord, go try in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Not the hard goal, the physical goal, but the truth. That you may be rich, that we may be rich spiritually. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that we are not found naked in our sin, but we are clothed with the garment of righteousness. And anoint thy eyes with eyes of, that thou mayest see the truth. Let us not be blinded by the things of this world, but let us ask the Lord daily to open our eyes that we may see the truth and use our time and talent for the Lord's use, that we may gain that we cannot lose. Finally, there is no other God. The Bible clearly declares there is no other God besides me. Now this was an insult and a threat to the people of Ephesus, who have long been worshipping the goddess Diana. And to be told that Diana is but just any, no gods, just an idol. In the Bible, the Israelites and God's people were warned not to go after other gods. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. The Israelites were a rebellious people that kept testing God despite being recipients of his faith, of his love and favor. Are we not the same? We have been receiving God's favor. We have been receiving God's blessings in our life. Yet they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Who do we worship? Do we worship our God or do we worship the idols in our life? Men today are the same. They know that there is a Creator God, if we are not blind to it, but refuse to acknowledge Him and to worship Him. Demetrius was upset with Paul's teaching that idols are no gods, but vain objects made with hands. The shrines he and the other silver craftsmen make were reduced to mere objects. This was a threat to them. An idol can be anything other than God that dominates and controls us. We can make idols out of anything that comes before and occupies the place of God in our lives. They can be our children. They can be our work. They can be our success that you have put so much efforts into it. Or anything else that we find more pleasurable, more enjoyable to indulge in. John Calvin once said, "The human heart is a factory of idols." The human heart is a factory of idols. We constantly produce idols because we are lovers of selves and pleasures, more than lovers of God. And for this reason, Jesus came as a sword to set a man at variance against all these idols. Now in Exodus, we are told Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. God forbid idol worship, because they are no idol, they are no gods. They are just man-made objects that rob God of his rightful place. This includes position, power, fame, money, comforts, self, and even our mobile phone. In today's context, you look at it, in our family, is husband talking to each other or they are talking through the phone? Same thing for parents, right? They are talking to each other through phones. And instead of, I cannot leave my card at home, I cannot leave my phone at home. Wherever we go, the cell phone has become so important to our life. But the phone itself is neutral. It's how we use it, how we treat it, how we idolize it in our life. Now, God does not leave any room for confusions in the commandment, "Ye shall have no other gods before me." It took 40 days from the time Moses went to talk to God on Mount Sinai for the Israelites to fall into idolatry. Whereas as long as the Jews or the Israelites remained faithful in serving God, things went well with them. But as soon as they turned to other idols, things started to grow seriously downhill. So, dearly beloved, the choice is clear. Keep away from idolatry. Be faithful. Stay close to God. Now, Acts chapter 19 closes with God protected his servants and his work. Although Demetrius instigated a riot, God intervened and he overruled. And we can expect God to do so always as we live for him, as we serve him. He will intervene and he will overrule. In my own life, I can experience the same thing. That I thought everything was gloom and doom, but God intervened and God overrules, even your bosses. So Paul was humble to heed the advice of the believers and certain of the chief of Asia to stay away from the mob. So as God's servant, don't be gung-ho, don't bulldoze, don't think that, oh, God is with me, so I bulldoze. There are times we need to listen to our fellow brethren, servants of the Lord, to be wise. So God used the city clerks to speak sensible words to calm the mob and end the immediate threat to Paul and the other Christians. God preserved his people and his work. And he has proven time and again that he is faithful to deliver his people in times of need. So may this be our encouragement when we serve him. In conclusion, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks." So while the Lord tarries, let us continue to preach the word of God in season and out of season. You need not have to be a preacher, but you can bear the truth. You can be God's image bearer. You can just share how the Lord has blessed you in your life. And you will never know how the Holy Spirit can use us to touch the lives of those whom we share the word of God with. We have learned that the gospel is a threat because there is no other way. Jesus is the only way. There is no other gain. And to these unbelieving Gentiles, it was a threat to their wealth, but they rather seek earthly wealth than spiritual gains. And there's no other gods, because there is truly no other gods. Idols are man-made. Idols are the inventions of men. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have also learned that today is Reformation as we commemorate that the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and our practice, and that we are saved by grace and through faith alone. Jesus came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Yes, he died that we may live. Therefore, do not object his offer of salvation if you hear his voice today, especially those who are still seeking. Humbly confess your sins and believe that he died for your sins according to the scriptures. Not according to what I say, not according to what the pastor say, but according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again on the third day, again according to the scriptures. Because he lives, we will live also. So as God's people, let us continue to live faithfully for him, and let us preach the word of God, even though man may oppose us, man may hate us. Just as we have read in the scriptures earlier in John chapter 17, we are in the world, we are not of the world. If the world have hated Christ, we and his disciples, you can expect the world to hate us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God promised that he will do a mighty work through us. Would we allow him to work through us? Yes. When the church is revived and on fire for God, the Holy Spirit will convict men of sins and lead them to repentance and salvation. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again we thank you for your word that reminds us that your word is the sole authority for our faith and our practice. And we thank you that it is by grace and through faith alone in Christ Jesus that we are saved. And it is not of work, lest any man should boast. O Lord, we pray that you will move and speak to our hearts this morning as we have heard your word, and confirm this word in our heart, and help us to appropriate what you have taught us to live out our Christian faith to thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In closing, let us turn to